is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, I'm Jim Rome. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. All right, so setting up a third hour, which is a really good hour. Let's start this hour off. We are efforting KJ Wright, Seahawks linebacker. Later on this hour, Kenny Moore II, a Colts cornerback, will be joining us. Rick Barnes just came by. Good to run him down. As I mentioned, good to get caught up with him. Easy to see why the players like him so much and why he has success pretty much everywhere he goes. Quick reset. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Since I've got a moment, and this is what I always say, you never know exactly when that call is going to come, so I have a moment, an opportunity, as we effort our next guest. Here's some reaction. Rome, plumbing issue? Crap. How much is this going to cost me? There goes the open concept mudroom. Signed, HGTV House Flipper Guy. Good point, Drew. Dear Jim, it was refreshing to hear from an honest Wisconsinite volunteering to check on your Wisco house, so I took the initiative to check on your SoCal house. I am pleased to report your 17 guard dogs were immediately alerted to my presence, so I distracted them with 6 bags of garbage. Your alarm system is intact, so I disabled it prior to attempting entry. The 23 locks on your front door functioned appropriately, forcing me to break a window to gain entry. After checking the ground floor, I took the elevator to the second floor, where I discovered a number of items gone from your medicine cabinet and your safe is missing. Good neighborly yours, Ira. All right, on that note, as promised, we are joined right now by a linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks. He is a Super Bowl champion. He is a Pro Bowler. He's an All-Pro. Coming off a season where he had 86 tackles, 2 sacks, 10 passes defended, an interception, and 2 fumble recoveries. Only player in the league with double digits in tackles for a loss and passes defended. Seattle's nominee for the Walter Payton Award in 2018. Winner of the 2020 Steve Largent Award. And he was the 99th pick overall in 2011 out of Mississippi State. KJ Wright is my guest. KJ, great to have you on. How are you?
Man, that is a great resume you just called out there.
Dude, that is an amazing resume, actually. In fact, I was going to ask you about that resume. It's good to have you. You just wrapped up your 10th NFL season, and you said that when you came into the league, you wanted to play 10 years, you wanted to win a Super Bowl, you wanted to be named to a Pro Bowl. You have done all that and more, so how much pride is there for you in achieving all the things that you set out to do?
That's special, man. I couldn't ask for a better 10 years, especially with a great organization in the Seahawks, so... Just, winning Super Bowls and, being Pro Bowls, and it's been a blessing, but I still got a lot more work to do. And, I'm not done yet. I got to get 1,000 tackles before it's all said and done. I got to score a touchdown before it's all said and done. So I'm still rolling.
KJ Wright joining us. I figured there was some unfinished business there. You know, if you were to go back to the beginning, you recently were posting on Instagram some of the milestones from your career. Why don't we start with what you said, quote, shedding real tears when your mom dropped you off at the airport to fly to Seattle. What do you remember about that trip in that first year? What was that time like?
Yeah. Man, because, I came during the lockout year, so that whole year was just crazy. I got drafted, but I wasn't able to come immediately to the team, so I was just sitting at home waiting for a phone call. And then the lockout ended, and coaches called me, hey, you got to hop on a plane tomorrow. And, it just all happened really, really fast. And so my first time ever leaving home, and my mom dropped me off, and I was going across the country, and that was real emotional for me. And so it was a special moment, but I panned out just okay.
Yeah, it did. KJ Wright joining us. You know, one guy that you've singled out is Ken Norton Jr. As a coach who taught you what it took to play linebacker at this level, what did you learn from him? What were your biggest takeaways from Ken Norton Jr.?
Coach Norton is a legend, man. I remember growing up watching the Cowboys. I was a Cowboys fan growing up, watching him and what he did throughout his career. And I remember meeting him at the combine, and him and Coach Carroll, and he looked me in the eyes, and he was like, I think this dude could be one of us. And so he probably said it to everybody, but I really believed it. But when I got to Seattle, man, he just really took me under his wings and just showed me how to be a pro, how to call the huddle, how to watch film, how to tackle properly. And so he's forever, you know, a father figure in my life, and I'm so glad that he's having success.
We're talking to KJ
coordinator in Seattle.
Right? Excuse me, KJ. We're talking to KJ Wright. You know, it seems to me, I was going to just jump in and say, it's one thing to show up at that level and learn how to be a professional and to play at that level, but it's entirely another to have to come back from adversity, come back from injury, put yourself back together. I bring that up because in your eighth season, you suffered a knee injury in preseason, and you had posted some of the images from rehab. What was that process like in coming back from that in a contract year and only being able to be out there for five games?
That season was a very, very low point for me. Just the way I got hurt, like I was just warming up and just a simple shuffle, and I tore my knee. And to get hurt during contract year, all the stress and anxiety I was experiencing, it was super tough on me. But I knew that I had to come back. I knew I had to come back and redeem myself. And that ninth year that I put up had career highs and tackles and interceptions. And so the rehab team in Seattle is amazing. And so it's definitely a team effort in getting back on the football field.
Hey, listen, I don't want to gloss over that. I think that, like, people hear that, and it's just one of those things, like, yeah, it was stressful, and there was some anxiety, but I did the work, and I came back, and it's all good. I'm trying to kind of put myself in that position. If I'm in a contract year, and I know how important it is, and then I suffer this devastating injury, and I suffer it the way you did, man, there's a lot of stuff to process. There's a lot of baggage, a lot of mental stuff going on. Like, how did you get through that, process that, and then show the kind of mental toughness necessary to come back and play as well as you did? How did you do that?
Yep. Because when the doctor told me, I was like, doctor, do you know what's at stake here? Like, I cannot get surgery. Like, I got to go out there and prove myself so I can come back. And I'm telling you, during that season, it was hard for me to sleep. I couldn't eat. My wife was like, whenever I came home, the energy just shifted in the house because I was honestly in a really bad place. But my support system, my wife was there for me, my teammates was there for me, and I just had to when I got back on the football field, that's when I was you know, much better. And so it was definitely a deep, dark place that, you know, athletes go through, but you just got to get all the injections you can. You have to get PRPs and stem cells and all this stuff to just get back on the football field.
KJ Wright joining us. I would imagine also, like, you probably allow yourself a moment or two where it's really dark and really heavy and maybe you're depressed, but, like, you got that switch, right? You got to throw that switch. It's like you got to get back in the fight as quickly as possible. Isn't that the key to it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you definitely got to take time to process what just happened. You got to definitely, you know, be sad. You got to be upset, be mad. But at the end of the day, you know, the champions always rise. You got to get knocked down and fight back. And so when you get injured, it's about being consistent, being persistent, and you're going to have some setbacks, but just listening to your body. You know, my body's telling me I need to slow down, but when it gets right, let's keep attacking this thing. And so that whole offseason, I was doing stuff to get right for the ninth year. And I put together a real good game plan, rehabbed my tail off, and you know, I had an awesome year.
And it was one of the career years. KJ Wright joining us. So what about that? That's the moneymaker, right? Both your mind and your body. Mm-hmm. How much do you know about taking care of your body and preparing for the game, both mentally and physically, now that you did not know when you first arrived in the NFL?
I'm telling you, this past season I hired a chef. And I'm telling you, that thing is life-changing. Just what the food you put into your body, especially in the off-season, that stuff goes a long, long way. And like, after the games, like, early in my career, I would get super sore after the games. This year, I don't remember those super, super sore days, like, on Mondays. And so I contribute that to what I was eating and putting in my body. And just, just the mental aspect, like, you know, every game, I just visualize success, you know, visualize making plays. And so I think all this stuff just transferred onto the football field. As you saw, this past season was just, a lot of people say it was my best, and I think it was awesome as well. And so just eating right, sleeping right, and just visualizing success on the football field.
I think that's amazing. So, like, what kind of fuel are you running on, and what are you eating that you feel so amazing and that you can recover that quickly?
Man, she got me eating all kind of stuff. It's just, I can't pinpoint exactly what it is. I know it's not, like, you know, fried food and all that sugar. The sugar intake is just good quality food that my body needs. I'm actually going to do, like, a blood test to see, like, what my body needs. You know how people do that?
Yes.
I'm actually going to do that this offseason to see, hey, what exactly does KJ need to, you know, take my game to the next level?
No, there's no doubt. People do do that, and I've been looking to do that. I've been meaning to do that. I have not done that yet, and I know why folks do that. Hey, KG, were you a sugar guy before? Was that your thing, or was it more like salt?
You know, I kind of, my diet was all over the place. It was a lot of sugar. It was definitely a lot of sugar, and that's, you don't need it. You don't need it. The body doesn't need sugar. And so I had to get rid of that intake, and just, you definitely see your body transform once you change your diet. It's bizarre.
How much better? I mean, I'm asking you because it's personal. I agree. I'm kind of that guy too, and I fight that thing like a lot of people. How much better did you feel when you got off sugar?
It's 9 days. Like even when you train, like you don't get as tired, and you see your body just transform. And like I said, after the games, I literally was not getting sore, and so the recovery to get back to the next Sunday was way faster on the football field. And so I believe everybody should just definitely take a look at your diet. I'm not saying go vegan and just, you know, that crazy, but just watch your intake and what you're putting in your body.
Just clean it up a little bit. You are what you eat. KJ Wright joining us. I'm glad you shared your thoughts on that. So you and Bobby Wagner are the last two members of the Legion of Boom defense. What's it been like to play with him over the years?
Bobby's amazing, man. Bobby has just put together a Hall of Fame career. Just what he does off the field was amazing. You know, the guy negotiated a beautiful contract that he just signed last year. And so he's somebody that I love playing with. Anytime we're on the field, the Seahawks have a really good chance of winning the game. And so we've just been dominating over these past years. And he's somebody that I've always admired in the way that he approached it. You know, we trained together in the offseason. And just Bobby's a good dude, man. Team captain. So I love him.
KJ Wright, my guest, I'll tell you another good dude, Jamal Adams. I had him on the show a few weeks back, and we were talking about the culture of the Seahawks, and he was talking about how much he loved coming in from the outside. Like, how would you describe that culture, and what's it mean to you to be one of the guys who sets that culture and is responsible for passing it on to guys who come in?
Yeah, man. I remember the first time I met Jamal. You could just see, like, how happy he was to come to Seattle. You know, all throughout my career, people try to resemble what we did, like, in our glory days, like when we was winning Super Bowls and playing the 49ers. People tried to resemble that, and everybody wanted to be a part of it. And so for me to just be a part of it and last 10 years with the organization and then bring guys in, show them how we do it, show them how we practice, show them how we just vibe together and get along and no egos, you know, that stuff is special, man. And so for me to be a part of the Legion of Boom and to bring these other guys in, you know, Quandre and Shaquille is, you know, Shaquille is balling. You know, it feels good to be a part of it.
KJ Wright, my guest for another moment or so. So you're definitely a part of it. You're a huge part of it, KJ. And you were there when that team was having tremendous success. You're still right in the middle of it right now. But as you know, it's a business. It's always going to be a business. So how important is it to you to continue playing with Seattle and perhaps even end your career as a Seahawk?
Yeah, I mean, that would just be a beautiful story. If I could just ride it all out with the Seahawks, you know, that's some legendary type stuff. And like I said before I left, I believe that it would be a great investment for Seattle to, you know, to keep me. Because as you've seen, since I've been here, we've been nothing but, you know, awesome. Always making it to the playoffs, you know, winning our division. And so they know how much I want to be here. But at the end of the day, I get it. When I've been looking at the salary cap, they got to, you know, clear some space to make things happen, and so they got to get busy.
So, I mean, what do you do? Like, for instance, I know the one thing you don't do, you do not talk. One thing you never do is talk about another man's money, so I'm going to talk about another man's money. Like, would you be willing to give them a hometown discount to stay there, or do you owe it to yourself to make sure you get fair market value?
No, man, I do way too much on the football field to take a discount. That makes absolutely no sense. Like, if you want to, you know, win all these championships and, you know, look good on Sundays, you got to compensate your guys that are making plays. And like you said earlier, nobody, you know, had double-digit TFLs and PBUs in the NFL. So I have a family, and I'm trying to, you know, set up long-term success for my family. So that's kind of out of the question.
Okay, respect. I respect how you answered that question. Absolutely. All right, so finally, you're obviously still hungry. You obviously have some unfinished business. You have some work that's still in front of you. I laid out all the things you've already accomplished. What is still motivating you right now? What are the goals still?
I mean, even Jim, with all this stuff that you said, all those, you know, accolades and achievements that I made, I still haven't felt like the world has quite felt me yet. I believe that there's, you know, even this last year, I wasn't nominated Pro Bowl. That pissed me off. that pissed me off. And I look around. I haven't even been nominated, you know, NFL's top 100 players. That pisses me off. And so I'm still hungry. I'm still out to prove, you know, how good I am. And I feel like my name isn't quite respected the way it needs to be. And so I'm about to start training next week and just get back on it because, you know, I feel like I got so much more to prove in this league.
I feel like you're going to get what's rightfully yours, KJ. I feel like you're going to get paid, but I know another way for you to make money as a side hustle. If you could bottle what you just said to me, you could sell that and make a lot of money. I'd be the first in line to buy it. That's because that's what you need, right? No matter who you are.
Yeah. And so, man, I'm on a mission, and free agency is around the corner. And so, you know, I know a lot of teams that want my service, but I'm interested to see what that looks like.
There you go. Seahawks linebacker. He is already a Super Bowl champion and a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro and obviously on a mission. KJ, I appreciate you very much. That was a great conversation. I'm glad you came on. Thanks so much for doing that. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, Jim. Thank you.
Appreciate you, KJ. I love that. I love that response, that answer. Would you be willing to take a hometown discount? Yeah, no. Why would I do that? Do you know what I can do? Do you see what I do on the field? I should be paid for those things that I can do on the field. I could not agree with that guy more. 100%. 100%. It's got to be pretty funny. Like, and I'm fascinated. Obviously, have you noticed that when I talk to athletes, I really am fascinated by the kind of fuel they run on and what they eat. And when a player like that says, it's an amazing thing he just said, that come Monday morning, I don't hurt nearly as much as the way I used to hurt as a result of hiring a chef and the things that I now put in my body. That's fascinating to me. Now, you know why Tom Brady stays away from anything that creates any inflammation whatsoever? Because it is their moneymaker. Clone's got to be laughing pretty hard every time I talk to an elite athlete about their diet. And I look through the glass and then there's Rit. Rit waking up early in the morning, double fisting, jolts. And Rolos. Look at him, man. He's going into a Ghirardelli. He's pulling chocolate out of a bag right now.
Game on
air. Literally. Dude's got chocolate at his desk. Not only eating during the show, but eating Ghirardelli candy bars. Go ahead, Hawk. Put them on real quick. Dude, you look absolutely disdainful. Why are you so out of sorts? Why are you taking that so personally?
It's 11 in the morning, and it's just childish. Like,
yeah, but it's
up.
5 o'clock somewhere, though, right?
Be an adult.
Be an adult. He's 90.
Why are you eating chocolate after 2 cups of hot chocolate, and it's 11 in the morning?
Because it's a different form of chocolate. One is liquid chocolate, and one is in bar form.
I eat like this on Halloween, and that's it. Like, this is Monday through Friday for Mr. Ritt.
My man's running on a different kind of fuel, though.
And I don't know how he's running on it, to be honest with you.
Well, he won't be much longer.
Game on.
I hope he is. I like the guy a lot. I just have no idea how he continues
to
do this.
I wouldn't say a lot. I like him. But yeah, I mean, how long do you... I mean, I hate to say this, but we used to have a death pool back in the day on the show when you were a listener probably before you worked here. One of those distasteful things. One of those things that we used to do that we got away with back in the day. We used to actually have a celebrity death pool where we had a pool on when people would die. If I still, in fact, did things like that, he'd probably be the odds-on favorite to go first.
And somehow he would defy the odds because that's what Ritt does. But what's amazing is this is not a bit. You didn't set that up for him to hold up a box of chocolate. Like, he just has that at the ready all the time. And when you were at the Super Bowl in Tampa and they cut to a shot of us on accident, he's, of course, just pile-driving peanut butter pretzels because that's what he would be doing at any given moment.
Well, even funnier is we're talking about him like he's not here, and he is here. He's right there. But no, you're right. That was not a bit that I set up. I just said, hey, by the way, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Like, we have a pro in KJ Wright who comes on who's talking about what he eats and how he fuels up. And I said, clones must think that's pretty funny that I'm so into this. And then across the glass, you got some old man there who's just feeding himself with the worst crap imaginable. And right there on the ready, literally had chocolate in one of his paws on air.
Yeah, and I've always, you know, lived by the radio rule that you never bring food into a control room, and he's just happily dining on chocolate.
Is that a radio rule? Did you learn that in radio school or
I did.
13th grade or whatever?
There's a lot of expensive equipment around, and this is not a cafeteria. It's not a lunchroom. It's not a break room, and here's Ritt.
This is not a cafeteria, Hawk. Way to go. I'm going to give you a 5 for that. That was strong for you.
Thank you very much. I'll walk off on that.
All right. Yeah, you should. All right, so isn't that it's amazing, and it's not. I mean, is there any shock that I would take a run at Ritt
for his horrible diet. And just as I was doing that, he's about to stick some chocolate in his face. He's got a giant bag of chocolate at the ready. Dude, you have no shame. At least wait till 12:01. At least wait till we're off the air. Or better yet, just don't eat candy at work. That's a big ask right there. That means that then I'm asking him to go 8 or 9 hours without eating candy. When we return. Yeah, if I still had a death pool, Rit, you'd be even money, dude, to go next. I mean, I hope not. I'm not rooting for it. I don't know. Like, I hear KJ Wright say something like, it's incredible. You can't believe how much better I feel. My workouts are better. The way I recover is better. I think to myself, man, I'm going to clear out that pantry when I get home. Not Rit. Rit's doubling down. Oh, you are? Give it to me. You're not throwing away all that chocolate, are you? You're not throwing those cookies away. Give it to me. Kenny Moore coming up at 40 past. Open segment next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You got to give it to Eisenhower back there. Just smashing chocolate right now. Playing his air drums, doing what he does. You got me and Hawk, and there are people that are way more effective than both of us, especially Hawk. But we're trying. You know, we're trying. Hawk goes through dryuary. You know, I'm on that Peloton like every single day, trying to knock out my workouts. And we kind of push each other. There's kind of an accountability thing. You know, Hawk and I, we kind of keep each other, I mean, sort of kind of straight. At least we're aware of what the other is doing and trying. Ritz looking at us like an and what, you expect me to do that? You expect me to fall in line with you two dopes? Yeah, I'm not doing that. But I will drink hot chocolate. Cup after cup after cup. And then once I run out of my hot chocolate, I'll eat chocolate.
Freaking ridiculous, right?
Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Jay Stew would not be impressed with Rit the way he was impressed with Kyle Brandt.
The guy's a good-looking dude. He's an impressive guy. He's got six-pack abs.
Yeah, no one's going to say that about Rit. He says he's got his trainer today. Dude, I don't know, Rit. Like, I know that before I work out, if I make a mistake in what I fuel up with, it impacts the workout negatively. And I've never, ever fueled up with cup after cup after cup of hot chocolate and several Ghirardelli chocolate bars. And that's only what I can see through the glass, Rit. Who knows what other kind of binge eating that you've been doing. Like, I have no idea what kind of junk food you've got stashed away in your office drawer or in your tank with your toilet or wherever else you stash your goodies. I don't know, Rit. How in the world are you going to work out today? You're running on chocolate, dude. Not exactly clean burning fuel. I'm not even here to judge. I'm just saying, how effective could that workout be? What kind of workouts are you doing when you're running on straight chocolate? When you're mainlining chocolate? When you're injecting chocolate? Stucknuts in. Did Hawk just tell somebody else, quote, to be an adult? He's got a good point there. Penguin488 tweets, be an adult? Coming from Adam Hawk is pretty rich. Pretty rich coming from a guy who pulls a muscle putting on shoes. I think that's my favorite sound drop right now still. That one. Brian in San Pedro tweets, Jim, Hawk telling somebody else to be an adult is as rich as the candy bars in Ritz's back pocket. Romesworth. Mm. If somebody's addressing me as Romesworth, I know who it's coming from already. Romesworth, thank you for the interview. It is important to have a regimented daily routine. These are the types of things that you learn in boarding school. Signed, Beauregard in Pacific Palisades. No way, Beauregard. You have a boarding school background. I didn't know that.
too good for prep school. Eh, Beauregard? Where did you go to college again, Beauregard? Stanford? Yale? Both? Princeton? Penn? Were you slumming it at Duke? I need more information, Beauregard. And also proof of all the bull crap you're always selling. It didn't happen if there's no picks. No picks, it didn't happen. 1-800-636-8686. Seahawk fan, what do you make of what you just heard from KJ Wright? I love what he said. I love the entire interview, but I love what he said. But no, I'm not going to give them a hometown discount. I love it here. It'd be an amazing story. I would love to finish what I started. I'd love to spend my entire career here. It's an amazing culture. I love the coaching staff. I love my teammates. Okay, would you give them a hometown discount? No. Why would I do that, Rome? I wouldn't. Great point. I love that mentality. I love the way he's going about it. Still ahead, a conversation with Indianapolis Colts cornerback Kenny Moore II. I want to remind you, I've got my episode of the Jim Rome podcast with Kenny Anderson still live. Don't listen to it for another, say, 29 minutes. Then give that a spin. Ritt, I can't wait to hear how your, quote, workout goes. This is going to be really interesting. When we come back, I am efforting Kenny Moore, but if I do not find him, there is an open opportunity for you. Also, a story about a guy who hit 2 grand slams. Not in a single game, but in a single inning. Not named Fernando Tatis Sr. Meantime, Rome Slice. We never have to worry about maintenance at our house. It's factored into our monthly rent. Regards, townhome guy. But share as a wall guy doesn't want any of that. Duplex guy too busy to weigh in. Townhome guy. Condo guy didn't want to pile on. Geoff and Lincoln posing as townhome guy. And now it's time for a sports update. Here it is. Here is Rich Ackerman. Good start to the week. I like it. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, so one last segment. As promised, we are joined right now by a DB for the Indianapolis Colts. He had a career-high 80 tackles. He had 4 tackles for a loss. He had 3 quarterback hits. He had a career-high 4 interceptions, including a pick six, which we've talked about, 13 passes defended. He was the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for Week 14. He was an All-American and a first-team All-Conference player at Valdosta State. Undrafted in 2017, Indy coming off an 11-5 season. Of course, I'm speaking of Kenny Moore II. Kenny, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me here.
It's good to have you here. All right, Kenny, I want to talk to you about the defense, of course, but I want to start with the offense because if we were to go back to last week when the news dropped, you immediately tweeted, quote, I'm about to FaceTime with Wentz. He better pick up. Congrats to Carson, end quote. So let me ask you, when you finally got a hold of him, what was that conversation like, and what did you want to tell him about you, the team, and the culture there?
So first off, I was just being funny about the whole situation.
Right.
But because I usually – every time we get someone new in the building, I usually text, you know, Coach Reich or David Thornton here at the Colts, you know, what's this guy's number? I just want to say hey and congratulate him. Welcome to the family. And so just with that situation with Carson Wentz, I just wanted to, you know, just make it public. Like, hey, you know, this guy is a Colt now. So, you know, I just wanted to welcome him with open arms, you know, just like Coach Nation would do with anyone. So, that was just my whole thought process of everything. But, you know, I couldn't talk to Carson long because I was on a flight back to Indy. You can see the mask in the picture that I later included. And so my first text to him, I was just saying, you know, great to have you a part of the culture, the tradition. I know he know Coach Wright, but, you know, there's so many guys that's just like him that loves football, that like to work. And, you know, I'm just ready to leave with him. And, you know, we're all looking up to him, and, you know, the keys is in his hand. So he got back with me and said, hey, I'm about to pick that secondary apart. So, you know, he's already excited to play with us, and the feeling is mutual.
Kenny Moore II joining us. I think that's cool. All right, so what kind of a message does it send the rest of the team that the front office was willing to go out and make a trade like that and get somebody like that and pull the trigger?
I mean, basically, they want to get a guy that, you know, all of us relate to. You know, whenever they're searching for a guy, there's not just the production that you play with and you can bring to the table, but it's more so like your character and how you, you know, carry yourself out of the building. How can you represent the shoe at all times? You know, just having that integrity, you know, when no one is looking. So just as a player and just an employee of the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, just from my experience being here, I trust this organization. I trust this, you know, front office personnel to get the right guys. So whoever they bring, they're family to me.
Kenny Moore II joining us. What you just said about representing the shoe a certain way, like you and I have kind of talked about this in the past, but I'm really curious because I can hear it coming through in your voice. How would you describe the culture and the mentality in that locker room? What makes that different?
You know, everything is top down. So, you know, how we carry ourselves, how we go about things is more so a reflection of the people who brought us in the building. And shout out to Chris Ballard, you know, Frank Wright, you know, everyone that has a part of, you know, everyone that who steps in the building. So, you know, they want guys to be themselves. They want guys to have the personality to express themselves in the right way, but they want you to do the right thing at all times. So, you know, they just want guys who love football, who loves ball, who's self-motivated, selfless, who love each other, you know, but not scared to tell each other, you know, you're doing wrong or you can do better. So that's pretty much the tradition that we have, and, you know, just love winning. And we know just from experience and, you know, just having flaws, we're not going to be perfect. We won't win every game. We won't go out there and do everything we're supposed to do. We're going to make mistakes, but, you know, just having that green light and, you know, from the coaches, you embrace your flaws. You embrace, you know, each other from the man that's to the left and right of you. And, you know, that just gives us that camaraderie to love each other and get to know each other, you know, more so out of the building, more than we do out in the building.
Kenny Moore II is joining us. You know, Kenny, you and I talked during the season, and we talked about the fact that you were not named to the Pro Bowl. Now that we're in the offseason, I'm wondering how that sits with you. For instance, I just had KJ Wright on, and he made it real clear to me, like, man, that's not all right. I'm not all right with that. In fact, I'm getting a lot of fuel from that. I'm feeling that. Is that how that feels to you, or do you just kind of move beyond it and ignore it?
No, I think KJ Wright, you know, a respected player in the league, great player at what he do year in and year out. I think he said it perfectly. You know, it doesn't sit right. And you know, that's pretty good for him to express, you know, how you feel. And because, you know, I think about sometimes, you know, because I could have just said, you know, it's okay, like, whatever it is. But, like, whenever I get home, you know, I lay my head on the pillow at night, I don't think it's right. You know, all of us as players, we put so much work in to, you know, get the achievements. And, you know, not we all want this thing called a Super Bowl at the end of the year, and that's the ultimate goal. But, you know, us being humans and us being in this entertainment business, you wanna have those individual achievements, and you know, you just wanna glorify the Lord for all those achievements that He brings you. But you know, that makes me in particular, you know, have that chip on my shoulder, you know, just from not just not making the Pro Bowl All Pro. It's more so like this is my life. Like, I've lived this my entire life, you know, from being in the back of the line or, you know, working more to be more and to show more. But, you know, that's just how it is. It's not okay. You're right.
Kenny, I wonder about that. Like, and I respect that so much because there are certain guys that come up a certain way and maybe they've got that chip on their shoulder, but then maybe they get theirs. Maybe they get that huge contract and maybe they think, all right, man, I earned that. I could take my foot off the gas. That's not what I'm hearing from you at all. Mm-hmm. Do you think that mentality would ever change? Like, what happens when you get that ring? What happens when you get that big contract? Are you going to become that guy, or are you always going to feel like you're the undrafted player who's got to bring that chip every single day?
I'm always going to be that guy that has a chip on his shoulder just because I can't help how, you know, my past have shaped me, you know, from being playing 1 year of football in high school, then being told, you know, you're just going to go to college and, you know, see how things are, just be coachable and just play there, you know. But and then in college, you know, you're the guy in the back of the line. You don't have much experience. You barely know all the rules of football. You pretty much just want to make your family happy. And then that passion from making your family happy, it turns into, you know, I can really do this. And it turns into a love for the game. So, you know, it's just that point. And then going to New England, you know, and being in a room full of guys who all can play and every one of those guys can start in the league. But, you know, unfortunately, all these guys that who can start anywhere in the league, they're all in the same room and for the same team. So, and then you see yourself on another team where you got to establish yourself and you're just trying to stay out of the way and work. So that's pretty much, you know, how things have been. So from going through those experiences and that adversity to, you know, being a, you know, top eight slot in the league, I mean, that's just not enough. I mean, I can't help how, you know, my past has shaped me mentally, physically, and, you know, just spiritually going forward.
Kenny Moore II is joining us. I would argue you certainly did take your game to another level this year. And did those who know, and they know what you've been doing on the field. And then you had that unreal pick against the Raiders that went viral. You and I talked about that during the season. Right. But does it feel like that's one play that can do a lot to get people to truly appreciate the work you've put in and what you're capable of on the field if they didn't already know?
Yes, sir. I think, you know, more so in this world, this entertainment, it really only takes one play. You know what I mean? Like, if we're looking at Odell Beckham, this guy made one play, but it was probably the craziest play we've ever seen, you know, from being held to, you know, DPI to a touchdown, a one-hand touchdown, fingertip, you know, catch, that spectacular, incredible catch that he made, you know, in his season, you know, that made him who he is. And you know, when I made that catch versus the Raiders, it was pretty much the OBJ catch, you know. So it really just takes one play. But I think more so in this league, or pretty much in sports in general, we got to appreciate more of the job, the task, the roles that, you know, the players take on. There's so many guys, you know, in the league, I guess, for the NFL, for example, that is such a great player, but, you know, we don't really appreciate this player until he retires. And then we look back on the league and say, who else do we have? And you don't have anybody that's just like this player. Like, you know, Tom Brady, Tyrann Mathieu, like these guys are, you know, Aaron Donald, like all these guys are guys that we got to appreciate, you know, each Sunday of watching them, respecting their craft of what they put in and put it out. So there's so many guys in this league that are respected by me first.
These guys that you mentioned are also, I mean, they're generational. These guys are Hall of Famers. Like, since you mentioned him, Kenny, like Tyrann Mathieu is unbelievable. Like, physically, he's unbelievable with the intangibles. He's unbelievable in the way he leads and works and the plays that he makes. Like, when you look at his game, what do you think?
Tyrann Mathieu is everything I feel like any DB would want to be like, or try to mimic, or, you know, just try to reflect themselves and try to, you know, look in the mirror like, dang, I just want to be like the honey badger. But, you know, the tenacity, the intensity, the knowledge, the swagger, the personality, his hunger, you know, that's a guy that has kept the chip on his shoulder because, you know, like I said, like, he's gone through so much from being kicked out of school and all his injuries and, you know, where he come from. And he played with that same emotion of how he felt, you know, whenever he went through those tough times to have a great game. So that's a guy that I try to watch, you know, whether it's on film, on TV, if it's before, say we have a night game or early game, I'm trying to watch him around the time that I have. So that's a guy that I just appreciate just being in the league with. You know, I want to be at the top with him. But, you know, that's a guy that I have tremendous respect for. it's all love with 23.
I was just going to say, I can tell how much you respect him. That's really high praise. Kenny Moore II, coming off a career year, a career-high 80 tackles, 4 for a loss. He had that amazing pick six against the Raiders, undrafted back in 2017. And as always, the future is bright. Kenny, appreciate you. Love having you on the show. Always like getting caught up and talking football with you. Thanks so much, Kenny.
Yes, sir. All love. I appreciate you,
man. All love, man. I appreciate you, too. Love that. Man, I just... so much inspiration in that. There's so much fire. Get a lot out of those conversations. Guys like that that fight that hard to get where they get and then never lose any of that fire, any of that hunger. So my thanks to Kenny Moore II. I'll talk to him whenever I can. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's get to an ATP quickly. Jimmy Jim. Do you think that Alvy is secretly happy that Ritt sucks so hard at running the board? No. Alvin does not run on that kind of fuel. Alvin is very neutral to upbeat and positive and happy. He's not rooting against anybody. He's not concerned about his job security. I would say no. I don't think so. No, because you know why? It draws more attention to Alvin not working on that day. And Alvin would lead us to believe that he feels badly that he's not here on those days. So I don't think that he wants to draw any more attention to the fact that the things that happen when he's not here would never happen when he is here. So I'm going to say no, Brent. Huge call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're close, they're convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Good interview day. Kenny Moore II, KJ Wright, Rick Barnes. My thanks to all of you for playing along. See you tomorrow. We're out.